Hello, this is Reverend Irvin. I'm so happy to speak a word to you of greeting and of best wishes, and to remind you that we keep you in our prayers and in our thoughts. The service you hear today will probably be brief. It's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We use the standard and basic liturgy of the church, a brief meditation, and of course a period of communion. If you would like to have me come to your home in the next few days and offer you communion, I hope that you will tell the person who's visiting you, or that you'll call me or call the church office personally. I'd be very happy and very delighted to come. This is World Communion Sunday, a time when the bulk of Christendom shares the sacrament on the same day, a kind of symbol of our oneness and our unity in Jesus Christ. We're happy that you're a continuing part of our worshiping body, and we pray God's blessings upon you and pray that he'll give you a full and wonderful week.
Come right on down. We got plenty of room here in front. We got plenty of room in the front pews, so if you got that many children, you can sit out there as well. Good to see all of you. Summer coming. Good. Oh, did that hurt? No, okay. Okay. It's always good to see, have you come and join me for a minute. This morning, I want to tell you a brief story that comes out of the scripture. Ah, here comes another one. Good. We got room for you. Nice to see you. Today, we are celebrating a rite of the church, a practice of the church, which we call communion. It's also called the Lord's Supper. And this morning I just want to tell you why we do this. There are four books in the New Testament which we call Gospels, which tell us about the life of Jesus. Do you know the names of one of those Gospels? Do you know what those books are called? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now some of you knew that, didn't you? Sure. In each one of these books, the writer of that book tells us about Jesus when he started this thing we call Holy Communion, the sacrament we call Holy Communion. Just before Jesus was to die for our sakes, one night he gathered his disciples, his 12 friends, in an upper room. And they were going to eat their last meal together. And after they'd eaten their last meal together, Jesus took a little piece of bread and said to them, "Now this bread is a symbol of me, of my body. I want you to eat it, and after I'm gone, I want you to realize and believe that it's a symbol of my flesh and my body, and remember me in that fashion." Then after he'd eaten that little piece of bread, he took a cup of wine, or maybe it was grape juice, and he said, "Now, this wine I want you to drink, because it's a symbol of my shed blood." And so he said, "I want you to do this. I want you to do this often in remembrance of me." So that's the reason we eat these little pieces of bread and drink this little bit of grape juice this morning. That's one of the most important reasons. Because Jesus told his disciples, whom we are disciples too, aren't we? That we should do this and do it in remembrance of him. So as we come and share these little elements this morning, let's remember that what we're doing is remembering Jesus. Thank you for coming this morning. We now join in our morning prayer together. We find that most of our people have something in their soul or spirit that they have concern about or they're thankful for. And if you have something like that in your heart this morning, I'd like to have you lift your hand so that the body might see the many people who do. We also want to give you opportunity to share with us any special thing or concern or request that you might have. Is there someone who has that kind of concern this morning? Mary? Okay. Carolyn's father's memorial service will be at 10 o'clock in the morning in Omaha. Are there other? If not, let us be in a spirit of prayer. Eternal God, in these moments of common prayer, we lift to you the deep yearnings of our hearts and spirits. From the inner recesses of our souls, we call forth the recognition of your lordship and your holiness. We acknowledge our outward unwillingness to humble ourselves before your glory and love. But we do have need of healing. We have need of wholeness. And we affirm that you can heal us and make us whole. You can. You have shattered the walls which separate us from you. Help us to use this sacrament of your grace to the end that we may find rest in you, peace for our spirits, courage for our living, vitality for our lives, and fulfillment for our dreams. And as we participate in this familiar act of remembrance and worship, may there come to us an unfamiliar visitation of your spirit in our lives. As we use these common symbols, may there come to us an uncommon experience of renewal and strength. O Lord, we are a thankful people. We know that your grace is more than sufficient for our needs. We know that it is sufficient for what we would need if we fully served you. How you could love us enough to send Jesus Christ staggers us and overcomes us, or at least it ought to, though our familiarity with the gospel has dulled us to its glory. Thank you for Christ, and as we remember him in this hour, may we do so in ways which glorify him and give to him the dignity and the honor which he deserves. As we commune together, may we be aware of the world and others. Let us see the sores, the lostness, and let us be caring about members of the human family who stand in need. For them we pray. We pray for all those who labor for your will and way, who work for the betterment of mankind, who exert energy in the name of Christ by witnessing to his saving love and grace. And we pray for those who are going through a time of bereavement, of pain, of distress, or whatever. Now bless us with your presence and place your hand upon us as we silently lift our cares to you. Now join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. People seem to love walls. People have so many of them. They have walls that separate them from their neighbors. They have fences which keep their brothers and sisters at a distance. They have walls and barriers which keep them apart. nations and races and political parties, religious sects, you name it, and there are walls associated with nearly everything. Walls also are used by people to protect themselves from different points of view and are built very rapidly in the face of disagreements. The rich and the prosperous spend their money building fences and walls to keep the poor from intruding on their serenity and peace. And the poor spend time building the walls of suspicion against the others. So walls, walls, and more walls, and walls all around us. But there was a man about whom it was written in the second chapter of Ephesians, he is our peace and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. So when you are no longer strangers, so then you are no longer strangers or sojourners, but you are fellow citizens in the household of God. So in the place of walls, Jesus Christ gave us a table. A wall stands vertically and it separates. The table lies horizontally and invites all to come and sit about in fellowship. Christ chose a table, not a wall, as the very center of his gospel. And today we celebrate the Lord's Supper at that table. Christ is the host. He invites the guests. No one is left out. He says, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. The hope of the world is at this table. He kneels there with us, and he shares himself with us, and bids us rise and follow him. This morning, as I look at our small segment of that great table, I think of brothers and sisters in every nation of the world celebrating the Lord's Supper today. In India, in Russia, Japan. A while ago, the Reverend George Parker was in Afghanistan, and he tells a story which I think is somewhat symbolic of the way that Christ breaks down walls and the communion is a symbol of those broken walls. After he'd finished preaching, he said, he celebrated the Lord's Supper. The bread, he said, was baked in a Muslim bakery. And it was baked in ovens built by the Russian communists. And it was made from wheat produced by American farmers, American Christian farmers. And he concluded that bread created from the dividing walls of race, of religion, and politics became the holy symbol of the uniting body of Jesus Christ. And that's something what Christ's love can do in and for us and our wall-weary world. It can penetrate them. It can bring God's children together in love and goodwill around his table and in their lives. So as you come today, let Christ take away some of your walls which are keeping you from your neighbor. Let us now share our tithes and offerings at this time.